I'm writing this on July 8th, 2010. I cannot remember a year when wood ticks have been as abundant as they are this year. After just two trips to Port Wing in the past 2 weeks, I had to pull 20 out of my dog Photon. One adult female tick managed to stay hidden in Photon's dense fur until it was almost ready to drop off to lay eggs. By the time I discovered it, it was the size and feel of a slightly overripe grape. I felt guilty because I usually remember to put Frontline on Photon. Unfortunately, I can't do anything to protect the birds I'm watching from ticks, and now that I'm taking lots of close-up photos of birds and other wildlife, I'm discovering that my subjects carry a surprising number of ticks. I don't usually notice them when I'm out photographing. It's when I get home and zoom in on my pictures on my computer that I see the little parasites. This morning I took photos of a ring-billed gull in perfect plumage along Duluth's Lake Walk. When I was examining the pictures at home, I saw a small wood tick just below the gull's eye. The bird didn't seem uncomfortable, unlike the poor snowshoe hare I saw last weekend up near Brimson. Its ears were covered with ticks, at least a dozen on each one. I'd taken a photo of another snowshoe hare up at Tetigooch State Park last weekend at just the right angle to focus on an engorged tick embedded in its cheek. I've got photos of a tick biting into the throat of a common yellowthroat, several black-capped chickadees with ticks biting into their white cheeks, one boreal chickadee with a tick in its throat, an alder flycatcher with a tick just above its eye, a woodchuck with a few ticks on its face. It's a jungle out there. Scientists have not gone to the same effort to standardize the common names of arthropods that they have with birds. Most everyone I know calls the familiar tick up here the wood tick, but a lot of authorities call the same species the American dog tick, a name Photon would certainly agree with. These ticks commonly spread certain diseases like Rocky Mountain spotted fever, but seldom, if ever, transmit Lyme disease. Overall, ticks are extremely efficient carriers of disease because they need at least three different animals to provide blood meals during their life cycle, they attach firmly to an animal while sucking its blood, and they feed slowly and may go unnoticed for a considerable time while sucking away, ensuring that any disease organisms in the blood are eventually ingested. Wood tick eggs hatch out on or near the ground. The small three-legged larvae climb up grasses and shrubs and grab onto any passing small warm-blooded animal, such as a songbird or a mouse, for their first meal. When they've eaten their fill, they drop off and molt on the ground into a larger eight-legged nymph. The nymph latches onto a new host animal, eats its fill, drops off and molts into a larger eight-legged adult. Adult males don't get huge. It's females that swell into those swollen, grape-like creatures. If allowed to eat until they're done, they eventually drop off to lay their eggs on the ground. At that point, the female dies, but the hatching eggs start a whole new cycle. Ticks are, of course, part of the natural world and have good years and bad years like anything else. Unless I see an animal like that snowshoe hare who is just covered with them, I don't mind ticks as long as I remember to protect Photon from them. It may be a dog-tick-eat-dog world out there, but that's a minor inconvenience compared to the beauteous richness of our good old North Woods. I'm Laura Erickson speaking for the birds.